have a new one. It's his hands are ready to eat for everyone. It's like Shrek. Like, you don't have to watch Shrek, but you know Shrek's ready to eat for everyone.
What are you doing in my swamp?
Welcome to the Goose Grace Calls All the Good News Taken. My name is Dan Amos, and I'm joined today by...
Drew Meadows.
Don't make it creepy.
That's the Old Spice thing. Drew Meadows.
This isn't an ASMR. Calm down.
Oh, no, no. I apologize to all our listeners out here for that.
Yeah. I'll introduce myself.
Hey, Drew, remember when you were going to introduce our special guest?
I got caught on the ASMR thing. But no, we have a very special guest today. It is not my father.
That's what makes him special.
He's got friends beside his dad. Yeah.
And so, this is my...
They go to a different school, though.
This is Daniel Owen, who went to a different school. So eat that, Dan.
What is going on?
No, this is my best friend from middle school. We went to different high schools, did colleges, kind of grew apart, and we've rekindled the flame.
Why did this just turn to a Hallmark movie? What is going on?
A hot romance right now. Rekindled.
We have became friends again.
This is going to be a good time.
His name is Daniel Owen. Look him up on Snapchat, Facebook, Instagram, Spotify, LinkedIn. Yes.
MySpace, whatever you like.
I'm desperately looking for work right now.
My man needs a top 8.
Man. Oh, that was
so Daniel, how you doing, man?
Dude just lost it.
Oh. Doing great.
The man with
better
all
than you right now.
The man with all social medias. YouTube.
Anything out there, I got it.
Hit him up on AIM and
MySpace.
Yeah, MySpace, ICQ.
LinkedIn, YouTube. TikTok. Oh. I mean, whatever you want, man. Vine. It's Ted, but
whatever you want to do.
Just not email. No, yeah. Again.
All right. Both of you, my fellow listeners, may have realized we didn't release an episode last week.
We locked it up.
I really want to say it was because of technical issues. I was the technical issue. So it was a rough podcast, that'll and we decided an, to spare people.
That'll come out in the Greatest Hits album.
If you got, yeah. Bloopers. Once you join our fan club and pledge that $100, you'll get a 5-second snippet of it. That's about it. That's all that was worth releasing.
It'll be the last 5 seconds of me saying great, because I said great for like a minute.
We're going to make up for it. We have a special guest. We're going to do two episodes of that special guest. All right. So we're going to start in John 19. Good old John. And we're going to go today. We're going to go one through for this episode. We're going to go one through
16. If we can.
If we can. We have this. We couldn't get through it with two of us, but with three.
It just slows us down.
It may actually be less. So as is customary here. Daniel's going to read because he's our guest.
So, Daniel, real quick, we didn't tell you this beforehand because we want this to be a surprise. We judge all of our readers.
Even if you don't read, we judge.
Even if you've never been on this podcast, we judge you. We had a guy. He's currently in second, and he has never been on this podcast. Nor do we know a guy named Malik.
I was going to say he also doesn't exist.
Yeah, and so we have Mikhail, Malik, Dad, Alex, then Ryan. So Ryan's in dead last. So all you have to do is beat my cousin. Because
what was the criteria? Did he
read good?
Say anything?
You have to read good. That's all it is. No, we're judging when you're reading.
Read gooder than Ryan.
Yeah, I feel like I need to act it out at this point. I mean, not that they're
reading. We need a flannel graph. That's what we need. Drew, you okay?
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay. Bat signal go off or anything? Yeah. Good. All right. All right. So we're going to start with John, once again, 19:1-16. 16? 16
it is.
16, that was a question? Okay.
Well, you said 60. I'm like, woof.
So settle in for the next 4 hours. All right, whenever you're ready.
All right, let's do it. Then Pilate took Jesus and flogged him, and the soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head and arrayed him in a purple robe. They came up to him saying, "Hail, King of the Jews," and struck him with their hands. Pilate went out again and said to them, "See, I am bringing him out to you that you may know that I find no guilt in him." So Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. Pilate said to them, "Behold the man." When the chief priests and the officers saw him, they cried out, "Crucify him, crucify him." Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and crucify him, for I find no guilt in him." The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and according to that law he ought to die, because he has made himself the Son of God." When Pilate heard this statement, he was even more afraid. He entered his headquarters again and said to Jesus, "Where are you from?" But Jesus gave him no answer. So Pilate said to him, "You will not speak to me? Do you not know that I have authority to release you and authority to crucify you?" Jesus answered him, "You would have no authority over me at all unless it had been given you from above. Therefore, he who delivered me over to you has the greater sin." From then on, Pilate sought to release him, but the Jews cried out, "If you release this man, you are not Caesar's friend. Everyone who makes himself a king opposes Caesar." So when Pilate heard these words, he brought Jesus out and sat down on the judgment seat at a place called the Stone Pavement, and in Aramaic, Gabbatha. Now it was the day of preparation of the Passover. It was about the sixth hour. He said to the Jews, "Behold your king." They cried out, "Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." So he delivered him over to them to be crucified.
Fantastic.
I'll go ahead and pray. And then we will get right into it. So, dear God, thank you for this day. Thank you for everything you've done for us, Lord. Be with us during this time. Give us the words to say that our listeners would get something out of it, Lord. Let us say nothing of our own accord, but of your accord, Lord. And let us say everything that's correct. Hear me, I pray. Amen. So, fun fact of why John stressed that it was Pilate who was whipping Jesus was because if you go into 39 and 40, Pilate's the one who's saying, "I can't find anything wrong with this dude." He's basically like, "This guy's innocent. What do you want?
Yeah.
Why do you want this dude to be punished? He's done nothing wrong." But yet, in the same breath, this just shows you though that he was just going along to get along to keep the peace. He immediately began to flog an innocent person, and just to stress that this wasn't just a whip. This was a whip that was multiple whips.
Whip.
It was a whip, but it was multiple whips that were kind of made into one with metal and chunks of glass and bone. And so what would happen is when they would whip you, it would wrap and then it would basically break skin and just lodge into your skin. And they would have to pulling out chunks of skin and stuff. And it was meant for prisoners. It was to punish the prisoners. It was meant to get a confession from somebody. So if they were trying to figure out who murdered somebody and you were a suspect, they would get you to confess this way. Or it was also to weaken victims who were about to die on the cross so they would die quicker, so they wouldn't be out there all day just baking in the sun.
We may have to rename your fun fact. That was not fun. It was a fact, though. Thank you.
Drew's fact of the day.
There you go. I didn't know what I was expecting, but it wasn't that. Thank you for that, though. Really set the tone there. All right. So now that we've completely jumped out of the scripture we read, let's
no, that was
started.
It. Because it's talking about Pilate took Jesus to scourge.
I thought you said 39.
But no, because that's where he says he's innocent.
Okay.
He's innocent.
Okay.
But then we see in verse 1, you'll allow it. We're
I'll allow it.
You ain't going to do nothing.
I'll allow it. My 51% vote will allow it. Okay. All right. So now that we've jumped to 39, let's start. With one. Set the scene a little bit for us. Where are we at? What's going on?
Yeah, so the Jews, they are pretty upset with Jesus. They don't like the fact that he's saying he's God, and so they're going to kill him.
So, yeah, so let's talk about that for just a second. So they have, in order to accuse him, they have to have something to accuse him of, right? So what is it that they're accusing him of, and why in their eyes is it so bad, when they're accusing him of his crime?
Yeah, so I guess the Jews are accusing him of blasphemy.
Right.
To the Romans, that means nothing. They don't worship God, or at least that God. So later on, you'll read where they're talking about telling Pilate he's not a friend of Caesar.
Right.
If he doesn't crucify him, basically they're trying to say, he claims to be a king. He's going against the authority of Rome, so you better off him.
Yeah, and what's interesting about that is you do have two sides. You have the ones who say, he's being blasphemous because he's saying he's God and there's one God and he's not God. And then you have the others who are saying he's above the earthly king and we serve the earthly king. So it's one of those situations just in my head, I always think about it being one of those where, let's be honest, when you look at it, he's set up to fail no matter what, as far as they're concerned. Like, they're just looking for a reason after they've accused him of the crime rather than there's an actual crime occurring here. And we see that a little bit with Pilate because you just get this idea repeatedly, and Drew hit on this a little bit with his fun fact, that this is not something he is finding enjoyment in or wants to go through with. He's actually trying to provide an out for the crowd at some point during this.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you agree, Drew?
I 100% agree.
Drew just looked at me like a deer in the headlights. For our listeners, I did throw him under the bus because he just walked back in the room for a second.
Had to handle something, sorry. So where are we at?
So we were just talking about what they were accusing Jesus of, what the crime supposedly was, and then talking about how, and you hit on this with your fun fact, how Pilate was going along with it, but he was not really encouraging he be put.
Yeah, he already said he was innocent.
Right.
And as a ruler and as just a normal human being, how could you put somebody to death?
Yeah.
That you just literally said innocent. I can find no fault in this man, which means not only can he not find fault in what they're accusing him of, he just can't find fault in the dude, period. Like, mm-hmm. You know, maybe he'd have an argument if they could find something else. Like, oh yeah, like he's like not on those charges, but he stole something like 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, I was sitting in Drew's office before this waiting and I was reading a commentary. So I wouldn't say cheating. I just did my homework. That's all it was.
For this podcast, it's cheating.
For this podcast, it's cheating. But they were talking about how a lot of the scourging was meant to, they were basically trying to fabricate evidence. They had no evidence. They accused him and they were trying to find evidence. So they were just hoping when they whipped him that he would curse Rome.
Anything we could find at that point. Like, yeah.
He might confess to something.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we go into verse 2, and I think you had a fact that you wanted to apply. Okay. Of the non-fun variety.
It's a non-fun variety.
I mean,
it's about
a lot of this episode will be the non-fun.
Yeah, I mean, this is not fun for Jesus or for us. Yeah. I mean, so it's doubly not fun.
Yeah, so talking about the crown of thorns, thorns are pretty symbolic of the curse that God laid upon humans when they sinned. I guess it's particularly of Adam or of man. I didn't go back and read Genesis, so I don't know, so I'm going to paraphrase this, but basically it's the idea of when they till the ground, they're going to get thorns instead of mm-hmm. crops that are plentiful and stuff like that. So it's kind of this idea of Jesus is taking the curse upon himself, taking the consequences of man's sin.
And crown of thorns, as a kid growing up, I always thought it was, you know, the rose bushes had the worst thorns to me.
Oh, but, yeah, yeah.
But those are nothing compared to the thorns that were actually put on Jesus' head.
And this was pressed down onto his head.
Yeah. You know, we're in my father's office. He has a snippet from a bush that they would have gotten mm-hmm. the thorns from, so that he has some thorns that could be used. And those are some pretty serious thorns. Yeah. Like,
what are they, like 2 inches long?
Yeah, they're thick, so they're not going to break off. And if they do break off, they more likely broke off in you know, his head.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, not to be gruesome.
No,
but,
no.
They're not just going to break off and fall down. They're going to stick wherever they're.
And that is key, and I love that you mentioned it. For those of you who are not familiar with the crucifixion, the reason this is so important is because the reason for the crucifixion, when you get down to it, was he is taking our place, paying our price for sin.
And he had to go through all of this.
Yeah.
To make, to pay it all.
And we've hit on this before. There, you know, Jesus is part of that Trinity. He is God and he is human. But he went through this and accepted the pain that we would have felt. It's not like he made himself immune to this pain and immune to the torture. So don't play it off like, oh, well, yeah, but he's God, so he didn't have to feel all. No, he had to go through every bit of this.
And so then we move on because, you know, we have to get through 16 verses, so we kind of go.
Yeah, let's move on.
And so then purple robe, that was, because what they're accusing of was saying he was the Messiah, mm-hmm. you know. And so that was kind of to make fun of him. Like,
it's
look,
mocking.
Like,
it's a perversion of the idea of a king.
Yeah. It's oh, look, he's a king. He's like, mm-hmm. we beat him now. Purple robe. He's a king.
Yeah.
And then the hail king of the Jews. This is an important part because the Romans were not only making fun of Jesus in this mm-hmm. situation, they're making fun of the Jews because they're like, look, this is the best person you could bring forward. Mm-hmm. This is your king that we are beating senseless and we're about to kill. And so. Mm-hmm. It wasn't just at Jesus when they say, "Hail the King of the Jews." Mm-hmm. This was also at the Jews who were yelling to kill Jesus. So it's a whole lot of politics were being played in this. In this whole process. Mm-hmm. And then Pilate went out again and said to them, "Behold, I'm bringing him out to you that you may know that I find no fault in him." So he's saying, look, after we beat this guy senseless, after we have made this man not even look like a man anymore, we have beat him senseless to where we use the same torture device that we get criminals to confess what they've done. He has confessed nothing. He is still innocent. He has no fault.
Yeah. He didn't, I mean, like we think about like Jesus was sinless and we know that, accept that as fact. Mm-hmm. But like when you're sitting there getting whipped and they're tearing flesh off you, like
you're gonna confess everything.
Well, no, but like Jesus didn't do anything. He didn't get angry.
I was about to say, think of the restraint.
He didn't yell at people.
At that point, I'm screaming everything I've done wrong.
Well, but this guy, I mean, Jesus had the ability to end it with a thought and to show that kind of restraint because it goes back to what we talked about a couple of weeks ago. He had subjected himself to God's will. He said, "Your will be done." And he's seeing this through.
And one thing I'm going to remind us of a lot, because I started this with when we read about the Garden of Gethsemane. Mm-hmm. This is all voluntary. We have to remember.
Absolutely.
This was all voluntary.
He could have stopped at any time.
Because remember when in the Garden of Gethsemane, he asked the Romans who were looking for him, "Who are you looking for?" Jesus, he says, "That's me." And they fall. They fall down, and then at that point he could have walked off. But yet, this is to show that it was voluntary. He said, "Hey, again, you're looking for me. Like, hey, it's me.
Yeah.
Take me."
me. I'm the guy.
You know, though, like in Hebrews, this is killing me not having the scripture for you guys exactly, but talking about Jesus, I think it's Hebrews. He had the joy set before him. He endured the cross. Like with every single blow, there is Jesus just thinking, "Man, this is for their joy and my joy too." Like. Every single blow, that's the thought process.
He knew what the end game was.
Yeah, I mean, this is not having one foot in, one foot out. Like, he had decided this was the reason he was here. This is what he had to do, and he went full force with it.
And so then we get in verse 5, he brings Jesus out wearing the crown of thorns, purple robe, and all this. And he says, "Look, it's the man." And as soon as they see him, the Pharisees started. They chant, "Crucify him." Mm. So Pilate, the guy in charge of the area, he's not the head honcho, but he's in charge of the area, has said, "Look, I find no fault in this man." Before he brings him out, he's like, "Look, I'm about to bring this dude out. There's nothing wrong with
him. He is completely distancing himself."
Yeah, he's like, he is completely innocent. I have gone through every measure I can to get this dude to confess to anything, and he is still has no fault. Guys, people who try to dispute the Bible, people who try to dispute Jesus, are always going to come up with the same response.
Mm-hmm.
There's no fault in Jesus. This man lived a perfect life. That's why John's stressing it, is to show the reader that, look, Jesus lived a perfect life according to our laws and God's laws. Mm. You know, so it wasn't only God's laws, it was also our laws. You know, he didn't come killing people, you know, saying, "Oh, I can do this." He didn't do that. He actually did the opposite. He added to the population by raising somebody from the dead.
Oh my gosh. Thank you for that clarification and math lesson, Drew. I appreciate that.
But sorry, I was just. But so I don't want y'all to forget this either. The Jews had watched Jesus perform all these miracles. They watched him raise Lazarus from the dead. They watched him heal blind people. They watched him heal the man, the lame man at the pool. They watched him heal the 10 lepers. They watched him do all this, or they at least heard about it. And yet, the same person who did all this, they're now yelling, "Crucify him." Mm. And that shows, though, the kind of faith they had. They had a faith because they wanted to get something out of it. And as soon as they stopped receiving, because remember, Jesus hadn't done a miracle at this point for a while.
Mm.
It had been a little bit since he had done a miracle. And so they had stopped receiving things. So most of the time when we stop receiving things is when we push away from Jesus. Mm-hmm. So the Jews are doing exactly what we would do. You know, when Jesus heals somebody's mom, somebody's grandpa, "Oh, I love Jesus."
That's a self-centered faith.
Yeah, but as soon as Jesus doesn't heal their mom or grandpa and they go be with the Lord, why would Jesus do? You know, we blame Jesus.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what the Jews are doing. They're not receiving anything from Jesus. They're like, "We have no use for him. Crucify him. Kill him."
Yeah, because you think about what they wanted from him, right? They wanted somebody who was going to liberate them from Rome.
Yep.
Yeah.
And when Jesus says, "Hey, I'm God," they say,
"Do it.
You're God?" Like,
yeah.
"You don't look like you can save us."
Yeah.
Like, "Do you have any power?" I mean, I guess they saw his power, sure, they should have thought, but then his motives doesn't match up with what they really wanted, which was to liberate, they wanted him to liberate them from Rome.
Yeah, and what it makes me think of is so often we're the same way with Jesus, and we pray and we say, you know, God, get me out of this situation. Look, he could not get us out of any situation other than he got us out of the situation where we're doomed to go to hell. But we're not worried about that. We're worried about our situation now, our temporary situation. And it just shows, again, that self-centeredness rather than being, you know, like what we just talked about with Jesus praying, saying, God, your will be done, not mine.
Yep.
And that should be our prayer as well.
And so then verse 7, it says, then Jesus answered, we have a law, and according to our law, he ought to die because he made himself the Son of God. Dan, what is wrong with that sentence? What is wrong with what they said? There is one key part that they're wrong about.
I can push this question off because technically there's two Daniels in here.
So. All right, well, Daniel, then, what's wrong with that?
What a lazy way to not answer.
But creative.
creative, but
are lazy.
Lazy
people creative?
They can be creative on how to be more lazy. Like yeah,
I've
put
a lot more effort into being lazy.
I have convinced myself in college a lot of reasons to not work on papers or things like that.
I've never needed to clean the house more than when I have a paper due.
I've seen lazy people put more work in to find a way to be more, to not do their work, to be more lazy than they would if they would just done the work. They wouldn't have put in as much effort.
So are they lazy or diligent? Like,
they're just lazy.
they're
diligent lazy. What is wrong with that? What is wrong with what they said, with what the Jews said to Pilate after he said it in verse 7? What is wrong? It's one key part.
Yeah, the key word is that they said he made himself.
Yes. Yep. Jesus didn't make himself. You know, he is the Son of God. And so, yes, if Jesus had made himself Son of God, just random dude walked up, hey, yo, Son of God right here.
But instead, constantly he points to the Father as the source.
Yeah.
He says, the Father has sent me. Everything I have through the Father.
And so the he made part was wrong because, yes, if Jesus was another person who said that, then yes, by law, he was to be put to death, Jewish law. But because he did not make himself.
You know what just hit me?
What?
It just goes back to the fact that he was not there to do away with the law. He followed the law. You can't point to a single part where he broke the law.
Yep.
And that's why it had to be done the way it was, is because he didn't break the law. Sorry, that just got me.
No, excited. And then 8, therefore, when Pilate heard that saying, he was the more afraid and went again to the Praetorium. And said to Jesus, where are you from? But Jesus gave him no answer. Then Pilate said, we're going to cover a couple of verses. Pilate said to him, are you not speaking to me? Do you not know I have the power to crucify you and power release you? It keeps going to verse 11, and I guess that's where we can stop real quick and talk about these three verses right here. This is Jesus this is Jesus showing who he is.
Yeah, yeah. There is no question in this point.
He doesn't care who you are. Mm. You're a sinner. He has just because Pilate was who he was, did not give him a right to talk to Jesus however he wanted to.
Yeah.
I love it. It goes back to verse 8 that when they said he has made himself the Son of God. When Pilate heard this statement, he was even more afraid. And I feel like that could be a little misleading. I don't think he was afraid because they said he made himself the Son of God. I think he was probably afraid because he realized he was the Son of God.
I'm telling you, you know.
And I'm going to get real nervous if I was in that situation. Oh, yeah. Like, you know.
And what's crazy is Pilate himself beat him senseless. And yet Pilate talks to him and he gets no response.
Yeah.
So Pilate at this point is feeling disrespected. And so Pilate's like, do you know who I am? And Jesus comes out. Everyone had in all the movies, everyone has this one line. You're just like, oh, that is a line. That's a cool line. I wish I could say that. And Jesus lives up to it. Jesus, he's like, you know who I am? I could crucify you. And Jesus is like, hey, look, whatever you do is because I give you the power to do it.
Yeah.
Like, at that point, though, if I'm not scared, I am terrified.
I'm screaming like a little girl.
Because
running.
The guy I just beat that is looking down the face of death has just told me that the only reason he's about to die is because he's allowing it to happen.
And that's why we see that constant distancing. It's like, oh, you guys want him dead? Okay, then, if you guys want him dead. You know, you keep seeing this like, I'm just going to do what they told me to do.
And so I want y'all to understand Pilate's point of view. it's just a random dude that is not on the Romans' radar because he's not doing anything against Rome. All he's doing is saying he's the son of God. That's all he's doing. He's never saying overthrow Rome. He's not doing anything. Right. So he's not on their radar. Pharisees come up, say, "Hey, look, we need to kill this guy. He's breaking our law, so we need to kill him. Can you kill him?" So you say yes, and that you come up, you put this dude on trial. Nothing's wrong. Yet they're still saying, kill him, kill him.
Yeah.
So you're like, well, then I'm going to get something out of him so I can kill him. So to appease the crowd, to appease the Jews, so you don't have a uproar on your hands. So you beat him senseless. Still, he confesses nothing. He just sits there and takes it.
Yeah, what kind of dude sits there?
Yeah.
And everyone else that you've done this punishment to in the past has fessed up to something, even if they were lying, just so it would stop.
Exactly. And that backs up that idea, though, of whatever you did, I allow it to happen.
Yeah.
So that's also got to terrify you that everybody, like you said, everybody else has confessed, and this guy's just there.
And so he's just there.
Yeah, that's
terrifying.
Then
you go back to the Jews, and you're like, look, this dude, I just beat this dude crazy. He don't even look like a man anymore. I've taken chunks of skin from this dude's back.
Yeah.
And he still hadn't said anything.
You know what? I had this picture in my mind when Jesus gave that one-liner that he looked normal like you and me did, but no, he didn't.
He
was completely disfigured, and maybe he's slurring his words, blood in his mouth. You know, you wouldn't have this power unless I gave it to you.
Yeah.
Someone that be,
And I'm about to say, and so the Jews are still saying, kill him. So you're like, I don't know what to do. So you walk in and you start questioning this dude. He's not answering you. Finally, you get, but let's just face it. You're not going to use that. He's not going to use that line unless he's frustrated. Yeah. He's frustrated at Jesus because Jesus isn't saying anything. So he's like, do you know who I am? I am in charge. You need to talk. And then Jesus doesn't say anything.
He regrets that all
the he's like, I have the power to kill you.
Yeah.
And when he says that, Jesus comes out, this man who has no wrong, literally says, the only reason you can kill me is because I'm allowing you to kill me.
Imagine the shiver.
Hold up, wait a minute. This day might be
guys, we're calling it off.
You have two thoughts in this of who this dude is at this point. Either A, he's just a crazy dude who feels no pain.
Yeah.
Just a dude off his rocker, which still scary because you don't know what that dude could do to you.
Regardless, this is not the norm.
This dude is what he says he is.
Which is more terrifying.
Because at that point, Pilate should be bowing to him.
Yeah.
And so Pilate realizes that's the only two options I got right now is this dude doesn't feel pain. He's just psycho. Or this dude is exactly who he says he is.
But you made a good point that Pilate should be bowing to him. But this just is perfect. It goes along with everything else we know about the fact that this is the upside down kingdom, that Jesus is king, but look how he's being treated. You know, and he's being treated this way because he's not the king that they were looking for. He's not the earthly king.
And so then we go to verse 12, and I kind of want to sit here for a few seconds because this is really impactful. All right, so this is really, really, really impactful. We see, though, how Satan can twist a person's thoughts. Because we see in verse 12, it says, from then on, Pilate sought to release him. So, yes, he realized who Jesus was.
Mm-hmm.
So he's like, look, I'm going to try to get rid of you. I'm trying to get rid of you.
Yeah.
All right. So it scared him. But this is a point right here. So the Jews cried out when they knew that Caesar wanted to release him. You know, if you let this man go, you're not Caesar's friend. Whoever makes himself a king speaks against Caesar. Mm-hmm. At no point did Jesus speak against Caesar.
Yeah.
They're twisting the words just a little bit.
Yeah.
One word in there, just twisting it. And that's what Satan will do to you. Mm-hmm. He'll twist one word, just like going back to the fall. What did he say to Eve to get her to eat? Mm-hmm. Satan, what did Satan say to Eve to get her to eat of the fruit?
What, did God really say?
Yeah, did God really say you will surely die? Like he twisted the words.
If he came out just swinging with a bold lie, like we were like, no, that's a lie.
Yeah.
But it's that, and that's why it's so important to be in your word is so you can recognize those times.
And so to Caesar though, he doesn't know.
Yeah.
So he's like, well, you know, I can't do that. And so then we have verse 14.
I mean, he's not without blame, though. Caesar, or not Caesar, or
Pilate.
Pilate's not without blame because
he beat him.
When you come to this realization that Jesus is who he says he is,
you don't immediately release that dude.
I would say you would just
make a decree and say, this is God, I'm releasing him.
Yeah.
You don't just leave it up to them.
Yeah.
Like,
because, you know, it's one of those things, not doing anything, you're still in the wrong.
Well, yeah, and there's even more blame there because we see time and time again this realization He knows who he is. Like, this isn't like, oh, it could be. I don't know. Like, he understands and still decides to go through
and
with
it. And so to skip a little bit, you know, it was a preparation day of the Passover, 6th hour. And he said to the Jews, behold, your king. They cry, away with him, away with him. Crucify. Pilate said to them, shall I crucify your king? He's still throwing. He's still, at this point, still throwing shade at them. This is your king. This is you're trying to kill him. He's your king. He is your king. He is the king of the Jews.
He's the only one who knows that Jesus is their king at this point.
Yep. And so the chief priests answered, we have no king but Caesar. Then he delivered him to them to be crucified. Then they took Jesus and led him away. So at this point, Pilate doesn't know what to do because he stressed to them that this is their king.
Mm-hmm.
Do they really want to kill him? And they're like, oh, psh, yeah, 100%. We have no doubts. We want to kill this dude. And the chief priest, which is the highest, you know, Pharisee at this point, was like, no, we worship Caesar, which is crazy because they.
Please tell me he said it like that.
Probably.
Is that what Caiaphas is? He's like the chief priest, right?
but which is hilarious because at this point, Daniel said this earlier, the Jews were trying to find a king who would get them away.
Oh, yeah.
So they were not worth it. Their king was not Caesar.
Yeah.
You know
they
what's
were
so
not,
interesting, though?
But yet they wanted Jesus to die so bad that they were willing to say, Caesar's our king, not Jesus.
And that's not the first time they did that. I guess it's the book of 1 Kings. I think God had decreed before that, like, you know, you're going to be my people. I'm your God. I'm your king. But you know what the people say? They say, you know what? We actually want a human king.
Yep.
We don't want God to be our king. We want a human king.
And God gives them what they want.
He gives them Saul.
Yeah, Saul.
Saul and Paul was just in my mind.
Saul.
Yeah.
Saul number numero uno. Saul
and,
one,
and we
not
still do
Saul
that.
Paul.
We want a king that we can control, that we can understand, that.
Well, and that's the thing. What
is in our image, essentially.
What you said was key, that we can control.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the thing with Jesus. If he's king of your life, you have zero control. You have zero way to persuade him.
And that's the best news you could ever want.
Yeah.
We don't like it, but it is.
It's funny because, you know, elections just happened. And we see, though, we elect people who we feel like we can control the most. And so, you know, you have all these people posting on there. You know, they go so they can get control of the delegates.
Oh, yeah,
you know?
Yeah. That's why we got lobbying.
Yeah, and so we're out of time on this episode. So, Daniel, we do this last thoughts. We try to keep it to a sentence. So one sentence to if you had to summarize all this, all 16 verses in one sentence, what would you summarize it as?
No pressure.
That's the biggest romance in the whole world.
Drew, why don't you go first?
No.
Yeah, because you always hang out.
I'm not going
you
first.
You always plan your sentence.
All right, I got one.
Okay.
I'm just going to say it. The literal creator king of the world endured the utmost disrespect so that he could honor those who disrespected him.
I can't beat that. Wow.
That's so weird. He took mine.
Oh, wow.
Word for it. No. Yeah.
No.
That's so crazy.
Well, hey, you weren't there,
he saw me over here writing it down.
you didn't say it, so technically
that's
you weren't there.
That's true.
Like you said with my dad in the Mosaic
of
Marian.
Check out Mosaic of Marian to see my my version of law.
Mine was, for God so loved us that he voluntarily gave his life for us. Though he had no faults.
I'm kind of excited.
That's because I fit that all in one sentence, because that's one logical sentence. That's not even a run on.
Look here.
It's not, Daniel, do not ruin it.
I got this.
So we're not going to look at Daniel. Daniel's out of this episode for now.
What?
So
this is how we treat all our guests.
We're going to mute his mic because he's about to say something and get me in trouble by saying it's actually two sentences. But go ahead.
You mean he's going to be right?
No, that was one sentence. It was a bunch of semicolons.
No, just don't be a Pilate. Pilate's problem wasn't that he didn't know, it's that he knew and didn't act.
Or he knew and he was too afraid of men.
Whoa, don't get him started. That's the shortest he's ever done. Most time he gives like when I say one sentence, he gives a 3-page paper. He's one of those kids.
I'm actually just reading the script from Matlock. It takes a while.
So, all right, you want to close us in prayer?
Yeah. Heavenly Father, we thank you again just for this time we're spending your word in every moment, every piece of scripture just reveals itself and reveals more of your glory to us. And Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus showing that restraint and voluntarily following your will because he knew that was the only way that we could be justified. So Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to explore your word with others, and we pray that we be able to continue it and that it be pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Have a great day.
That was trash.